Lord, I will go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll be whatever you want me to be. And that commitment that I made to the Lord when I was 15 years old has defined my life and taken me places that I never thought I'd ever go. And I am 60 years old now and have four grandchildren and 200 kids around the country that call me dad, and 600 orphans over there, and 200 preachers that we're working with, and we're planting churches and so forth. But I'm having the time of my life. I cannot imagine not being in the Lord's work. Cannot imagine preaching the gospel and living for the Lord. It's the absolute greatest life in the whole world. And so for 16 years, you folks supported me for Solid Rock Youth Ministries, and we recorded literally over 40,000 teenagers making professions of faith in youth detention centers across the country. And wrote some books, some gospel tracts for teenagers, did a lot of counseling, had a website and a toll-free hotline. And in the middle of all of that, I got an email, and a pastor in Burma was asking me to help him. And I ended up going over there, and what I saw with my eye affected my heart, changed my life, and I have been going back over there ever since. Went in 2009 and got arrested and jailed by Burmese military intelligence, and went back within 6 months, and have been going and going and going, and we have pastors' conference every year in Rangoon, now called Yangon, city of 7.5 million Buddhists and Muslims, mostly Buddhists. And so in the last 7-8 years, I have been unable to take my wife over there because she has had really bad osteoporosis. And the doctor told her, she said, you don't have to go to Burma. You don't have to get on a plane for 16 hours. You could just turn wrong standing in your living room and break in half because her bone density was so bad. So to put her on a 16-hour flight from New York to Hong Kong and then another 7 hours into Burma, you know, and so forth, and layovers and all of that, it takes about 28 to 30 hours to get there, all in all, was impossible. But that's been getting better. And her condition has constantly improved. And so in October, she went with me for the very first time. And what she saw with her eye affected her heart and changed her heart. And she was always supportive, but now she is in love with the people that God has put in my heart. And so we're really excited about that. And she said four times while we were over there in October, she was telling people, one day we will live here. And I just started crying because that's the desire of my heart. What we really want to do is go over there for 6 months out of every year and then 6 months back here, because I have to continue raising funds for the church planting and the orphans and the printing. And you know, it takes a lot of rice for 600 orphans and to do everything that we did or do. We, on this trip, much like every other trip, I've gone over there. We've done a lot of evangelism. We go into different places. Up until this past January, it was illegal. You could be put in jail for 28 years for evangelizing on the street, for just doing what we do here so freely. You can't knock doors, or you couldn't. You couldn't pass out flyers or gospel tracts. They said we have religious freedom, but they really didn't. And right after the first of the year, I was there, and I took a couple of people with me. We went all over the country, and I've been literally all over the country. Many people say, Brother Bob, you've been more places in our country than we have. You know more about the Burmese and the Burmese history than we do. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I have given my life to that country, and I have literally surrendered the rest of my life and ministry to reach the people of Myanmar, old Burma, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, anyway, we landed in Yangon, and actually, my wife went around the planet one way, and I went around the planet the other way. You say, well, that's weird, and it was. But she went with her cousin, and who is a United Airlines employee for the last 28 years, and so they got free tickets. And so they had to go from New York to San Francisco, and San Francisco to Singapore, and Singapore to Yangon, old Rangoon. And I went from New York to Italy, Milan, Italy, and Milan, Italy to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and then from there on to Yangon. And I got there, they left a day before me, and I got there 6 hours before them. And because I had scheduled flights and they were on standby. But between the time I landed in Yangon and the time that they arrived and I picked them up at the airport, I had preached twice and visited our orphans in the city of Yangon. And then there, picked them up, stayed the night in a hotel in Yangon, and then the next morning, I put my wife and her cousin on a Burmese bus 7 hours from Yangon to the city of Monmien. Monmien is the fourth largest city. It's in Mon State, a very staunch Buddhist state and people, the Mon tribe. In Burma, in Myanmar or Burma, there is 135 different people groups. They all speak different languages, and none of those languages are alike. They don't sound alike, they don't look alike, they don't share the same alphabet. So if I would say, hello, how are you in Burmese, I would say, Mingalaba ne kamla. If I say the same thing in Korean, I would say, Osu okle, tablu de malo. Totally different. And there's 135 of those. So in where we went in southern Burma, to the city of Monmien, and that's not as hard as it sounds, that's M-A-L, A-W, Molo, Mi, M-Y-I-N-E, Molmian. You just say it all at once, Molmian. And the people down there are the Mon tribe, M-O-N, the Mon tribe. They have their own language. And Adoniram Judson, back in the day, he started two churches 200 years ago in that city, but they're apostate now. And not preaching the gospel as we know it. They believe that you become a Christian by being born into a Christian family like you become a Buddhist or a Muslim. We know that that's not Bible salvation. Bible salvation is you're convicted that you're a sinner, separated from God, on your way to hell, and you turned from your sin and yourself. And your self-sufficiency to Christ. And when we go over there, we tell them you need a Savior. Just like I need a Savior. Just like Pastor Malachuk needs a Savior. Just like you need a Savior. We all need a Savior. And my people in Burma are no different. And they have plenty of religion. But that religion won't take you to heaven. You need a Savior. And so we go over there and we take the gospel. And we preach to them the Word of God. And I've got a lot of things to show you here, and I'm going to try to put these together with what I'm saying. But this is one of our new converts in the city of Molmien. This is their house. This is a bamboo hut. They got some plank floor there, but there's no electric. There's no running water. They have a outhouse back behind that place, and it's really just a hole in the ground. And that's the basic Burmese. Now, in the cities, they have apartments with electric and plumbing and all of that. But a lot of the Burmese live like this. And this is another lady that's a member of the church that we've started. Now, we have a man there called Peter Judson. He was here in America for 7 years, he and his family, as refugees, because the Burmese army has killed literally millions of people in Burma. And the refugees, by the hundreds of thousands, have come here, as well as Australia, Norway, Germany, a lot of different countries around the world, and seeking freedom and safety for their families. And so Peter Judson came here. His name in Burmese is Chocho Wong, And Cho Chiu Wong came to me several years ago. He was in Des Moines, Iowa, and he said, Baji, I love America, but I cannot stay. He said it was my dream to come to America. But he said, I need to go back to my own country and preach the Word of God to my own people. Can you help me? So I moved him to New York. I flew out to Des Moines, got a U-Haul, moved him back to New York State. He joined our church with his family, his wife and three children. And it took me 2 years to get them passports and ship them back to Burma. And they're there. They've started the Mulmian Baptist Church. And they are having people saved and baptized daily. Every single day. Not every Sunday, not every week, but every single day. And the people there are hungry. Now, this is my wife with one of the new converts and members of the church there at Mulmian Baptist Church. So we took the bus from Yangon to Mulmian, and we spent several days. And one of the big reasons that I went to Mulmian was to plan with Cho Chiu Wong the upcoming crusade. We have so much freedom. It's so turned around, the whole country now, that we are going to be able to have an open-air tent crusade in this city in January. I'm taking a dozen people with me from our church, from all over the country, and we're leaving January the 9th, and we're shipping in several days. We will ship air freight a 1,000-seat tent from Miami Missionary Tent in Oklahoma straight to Yangon, and we will set that tent up. We believe 1,000 people a night will come to hear the gospel in that country. And so we're going to get there several days early, go out on the streets, pass out flyers. In January of this last year, I was there. We went door to door. We were in the streets. We were leading people, Lord, in the streets. I knocked on this one house door, and I led this couple to the Lord, man and woman. They're middle-aged. They are teachers in one of the high schools there in that city, and what we would call a high school, I guess. Things are different, and you just got to understand. But they both trusted Christ as their Savior. They've joined our church. They've been baptized. You understand, when you get saved and baptized over there, it's different than here. You're taking a stand, and it costs you. It costs you many times your family, your job, your home. You get kicked out of your community. You get stoned and beaten and jailed. At least that's the way it's been for the last 50-plus years, until this past January, when the military government turned everything over to Aung San Suu Kyi and the National League for Democracy, and they won this incredible election in November of the year before, 2015, where they took 779 legislative seats out of 820. The Republicans, the Democrats, nobody in America has ever enjoyed that kind of majority. And so now they are, the Aung San Suu Kyi and her party are able to bring about some real change in that country. Now, who's Aung San Suu Kyi? Aung San Suu Kyi is this lady here. She's been under house arrest in Burma for promoting democracy for almost 30 years, but now she's a legislator. And she's basically running the country by proxy. She's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. She's written books. She's been in America now and visited all over this country. But her nephew and niece, Aung San's nephew, Cholin U, and his sister, Athe U, have both received Christ as their Savior. They prayed with me to come to Christ, and they're praying, they're witnessing to her. She gave me the nickname Baji Bob. So if you go on my Facebook, you see Baji Bob, it means Uncle Bob or Grandfather Bob or something. That's an older, more respected person. And I said, no, Baji, too old for me. Koji Bob, Brother Bob. They said, no, you Baji. I said, hode, okay. And so anyway, there in Mulmian, we held some services. We did a lot of planning for the crusade coming up. And then we went to the leprosy hospital. And I've been there a dozen times. I know a lot of the people. We've led a bunch of folks to the Lord in the leprosy hospital. And when I take Americans to the leprosy hospital, a lot of times they stand back and they hold their hand over their nose smelling the cologne on their hand, you know, because of the stench of rotting flesh and soiled bandages. And you go into these, they've got, when you first walk in, there is about a half a dozen what we call ulcer wards. And they've got ulcers all over their bodies. I could show you pictures. You don't want to see it. Pussing, sores that's eating down into their flesh. And then you have the amputation wards. And a lot of the people there, you meet them, they have no feet. They have no hand or hands. They have one lady I met there, she had no nose because the leprosy has eaten her these things away. And so my wife and I went in there, and she stood back a ways, and this old monk that I had went to the Lord 2 years ago, his leprosy is dry. It's no longer oozing, so I can touch him. And he came and he said, "Oh, Abaji Bab," he says, "so good to see you. I thought you would never return." And he came and I hugged his neck, and he just held on and held on. And several of the other men and the women there, they were so glad to see us. The picture that you're seeing there is the wife of a Burmese army captain who has leprosy, and her teenage daughter. And both of these people received Christ as their Savior. And it was very soon that my wife was touching these people and holding them. And then she got to this, there was a 16-year-old girl right here. And this 16-year-old girl has already lost her foot to leprosy. They sawed it off because it had gangrene. And it was going to kill her if they didn't take it off because of the leprosy. And my wife, she just cried. And she finally sat down on the bed and held this girl's hands. And we led this young lady to the Lord. And when you lead somebody to the Lord over there that's been raised in Buddhism, you don't just go and ask them, "Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior?" It's not like that. You have to start at, there is a God. His name is Pyatakin, creator of all, master of the universe, Pyatakin. And then you have to tell him his name is, and he has a son. And they know about sin. The Buddhists know about sin, but they don't know about heaven. They don't know about hell. They don't know about eternity. They have no concept of that. And so, but they do know this. A lot of the Buddhists know, every monk knows this, that in about 600 years before Christ, Gotama, the Buddha, in his scriptures, when he was getting ready to die, his followers came to him and said, "When you die, we make statue of you and worship statue." He said, "Please don't do that. I'm not God." He said, "I've spent my life searching for the great peace. I've searched and for the living God." And he said, "I have found none." He said, "I cannot help you, but there is one coming after me." This is Buddhist scriptures. "There is one coming after me who will help you, and his name will be Arimathea," which is Savior, Messiah. Every Buddhist monk in Burma, China, Thailand, they all know the Savior that Gotama said would come is Jesus Christ. But because of money and power, they hide it from their people. So they're sending literally millions and billions to hell for money. And that's religion. Religion will send you to hell. You don't need religion. You young people, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what you need. You need to know him, and he wants you to know him, and you can know him. And so when we got, this is one of our preacher boys, young man, he's about 16 years old. He is out of high school now. He's in our Bible Institute already that we've started in that city, and he's leading this leper in the hospital to the Lord. Sometimes these believers on the other side of the planet shame us who have had the gospel for so long. Say amen right there. It's true. We need to get busy for God because there's people. The mission field, folks, does not start in Burma. It starts in North Adams. Go like this. It'll help your neck. You know? Honestly, we can do what they're doing there. We can do it here. It's been done a long time ago. We need to do it again. And so this man, he was in the surgical ward. And instead of taking his arm off, they've tried to fix him, tried to take the infection, the leprosy out of his arm, and they're hopeful. But it's just a matter of time, really. And we could keep going. But so in Momien, we spent several days, and then I put my wife and her cousin with me on another bus. This time, we were going from the south up to Yangon. We only spent 10 minutes there and then kept on going up the Irrawaddy River, which is like the Mississippi of Burma, and for 18 hours with only two stops on a Burmese bus. And I mean, you're sitting like this, you know, very little recline, you have very little leg room for 18 hours. Thank goodness my wife slept most of the way. We were all cramped up. Finally got to the village of Ong Lan, and there in Ong Lan, where my first contact was, where I was arrested in jail back in 2009. We have a school, we have a church there, the Ong Lan Baptist Church, Pastor Tain Nguyen Yi, and they are doing such an amazing, wonderful job. And we had souls saved up there. We spent several days. We came back to Yangon. And there in Yangon, we went and we did some evangelism on the street. We went with Pastor Tong Nai Lian to his orphans. My wife and her cousin left and came back home, and I stayed another 4 or 5 days and had more souls saved and so on and so on, and those pictures are going to keep coming. Now, I'm going to show you some things. And over there, there's vast teak forests. This is teak. Very hard. This is hand-carved. I don't know how, but the teak is, you can pass that around, those a lot of elephants in the woods along with tigers, and king cobra, and I don't fear the cobra too much anymore. After eating a king cobra, you don't worry about it too much. I'm stronger than the cobra. And let's see. These are from the Naga tribe, and this is a necklace made out of, water buffalo teeth. And when you girls love to wear this, go with your outfit today. And these are wild boar tusks from the same tribe. And this is their jewelry. And then a chief in a Naga village way up in the northern part on the foothills of the Himalayas, he gave me his very own necklace. Now, I was really grateful that this was not a human head, because as of like 12 years ago, they were all headhunters. And naked. But Christ does wonderful things in everybody. But this is a genuine, real monkey. Yeah. And, and this was given to me by that chief. And you can see how real he is. Oh, yeah. I know you girls are just dying to see this. He's been keeping an eye out for you. Maybe two. Yeah. She says, don't get that thing too close to me. You know, see the teeth? But they have lots of these in the jungles and so forth and so on. And you can even touch them if you like. Maybe not. And, the beads are actually human bone, colored human bone. Yeah. Oh, he's real, isn't he? Oh, yeah, he's real. Yeah. It's cool? Is that what you said? Your wife said it's cool. Maybe you want to go to Burma with me. You want to? Wow. She said she wants to go to Burma with me.
Brother Bob, what's the not everyone would know what the face paint is on a lot of the folks in the picture.
That is like this here. This is Tanaka. It's made from a tree bark. It's very moisturizing. But the biggest reason why they put this on, and if you're Burmese, it's what you do. It is The biggest reason you put it on is because it cools you down. I don't know what the chemical is. I don't know all the. I don't know anything about it other than that it comes from this particular tree bark. And they put it on every morning. Sometimes they put it on a couple of times a day, but it cools you down immediately as soon as you put it on. Now, when it's 100, 120 degrees with ridiculous humidity and you are sweating in your own pockets all day and even at night, you want something to cool you down. So they put this on, and immediately, as my wife and her cousin put it on, they felt the cooling sensation. And bamboo fan, you know, from Burma, handmade. And you're not going to believe this. This is from the Chin tribe. Long story about this, but it's the real deal, preacher. Burmese gong from the Chin state. Want to do it? That was the sissiest gong I've ever... Heavens. Yeah.
Would that be used for anything in particular?
Call to... Yeah, it's like a cowbell here. You know. Oh, speaking of which... let's see. No, that's what not it.
What are we looking at here, Brother Bob?
Oh, here we go. All right. Huh?
What are we looking at?
I passed by and you know, one was saying to the other, I don't like white meat. But this is Asian sun bears. And I took all the orphans in Yangon. I rented a big bus and took them to the zoo. They had never been, took them out to eat. So this is one of those places. And they'd never been to the zoo. They'd never been out to eat. They'd never had ice cream. I asked them, what flavor do you like? They said, we don't know. I said, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry? They didn't know. So I got everything for everybody. Then after they had finished, I said, which do you like best? They said, yes. You know, one of our preacher boys. This is one of our pastor's little girls. I'm telling you. Isn't she just precious? And you can get closer to the animals at this zoo than any other place, any other zoo that I've ever been to around the world. It's unbelievable. You see, that's handmade, solid brass. And you see, if you look close, you'll see the Burmese writing on that cowbell. And this is Pastor, this is Pastor Alin. And there's a whole story about Pastor Alin. He's been heavily persecuted. He and his wife have only been married a few years. This is their daughter. And he has been stoned and jailed and so forth and so on. He needs about $10,000 to buy a piece of property to build a church on because he's being kicked out for the fourth time because of his preaching. His landlord said, you will not ever again on my property preach about this pagan religion, talking about Christ. And so we're trying to help him. He is a real man of God, real man of faith, and they have... Their entire married life is under a blanket in the middle of a one-room bamboo house in the middle of 10 widows and all of their children, plus the 15, 16 orphans that they are taking care of by faith. And we help him $175 a month. That's it. And, I mean, it takes probably $20 a day in rice just to feed the people in his care. This is Joseph, and this is Miriam, and this is Mary, and Moses, and this is Pastor Tong Lai Lian's wife with my wife, and she's never been in America. She's never been out of Burma. She is a very precious servant of God. I'm hoping one day she'll be able to come. This is Martha and Leah on the right with my wife, and Leah has red hair because she's half Jewish, half Burmese, half Jewish, and she is so precious. But she has nobody. None of these kids have any, they don't have anybody besides Pastor Tong and me or us, GLBM, you all have a part of this, you understand. And this is a handmade Burmese marionette. And I have another one in there. But the Chen people in Burma are afraid of these. They think that there's spirits in them. But that's that. And let's see, what else? I've got all kinds of things. The Burmese love shoulder bags. This is from the Lahu tribe. And they wear it like this and keep things inside. This is actually lined. And you're going to love this. But you can't keep it.
We've got about 10 minutes left, so I want to get some people to be, if they want to ask some questions. But could you just tell us, is there anything that, or how would you describe the difference between when you first began going to Burma and now, if there is anything, or the growth of the churches? What stood out the most to you?
Well, like I was talking about, the freedom to minister there is the biggest thing. We are sometimes very arrogant as American Christians. We think, you know, one thing, when I go over there, I'm not trying to make them American Christians. I'm trying to make them Bible-believing Christians. And but we think we're going to go over there and they need us to teach them and to help them, so forth and so on. They need partners. That's what we are. But a lot of them have been serving the Lord, preaching the gospel in jungles under a plastic tarp or just a piece of plastic, you know, so big when the rains come, monsoon, horizontal rain for 5 months at a time, nonstop. Running from the government, the Burmese government has come and put landmines around their villages and then sent mortars in at night. And those that aren't killed by the mortar fire run into the landmines. Those that aren't killed by or torn to pieces by the landmines are then taken out in the jungle, tied to trees, raped, murdered, tortured, left for the animals to eat. And there's been hundreds of thousands, millions of people like this. And the real criminals, there's not a lot of crime in Burma. The criminals is the army in Burma. The politicians and the army, the generals. But that's all changed now. So now we can minister freely, and that's the biggest change. And we have no more fear. Now, we tread softly. You know, we're very respectful. And when I take a team over, like in January, I meet with them for half a day, and I bring them all up to speed, teach them about the culture. You know, we don't want to go over there and offend anybody. We want to, even though we're preaching a different, quote-unquote, religion, different God, I don't know how to say this. Some of the Burmese preachers say, there's some American preachers that come over here, Brother Malachuk. They get off the plane, they go into the airport, they sit in the hotel in the air conditioning, and they make demands. They said, nobody goes to the orphans, nobody goes to the villages like you, Baji. I don't understand that. Because I love being with my people, just like you love being with your people. You have a vision for North Adams that God gave you a long time ago, and you still have it, and you still love these people because God put them in your heart. Yes or no? My people are the same way in Burma. And I go there. I went there originally because I was obeying God. And I went there and I didn't know why I was there. I was just obeying God. I looked up into the sky and I literally, with bombs going off in the city and soldiers with AK-47s in their hands, looking up and down the street, truckloads of soldiers going up and down everywhere, all across the. A bomb rocked my hotel one night I was there. And I looked up in the sky one night and I said, God, why am I here? What do you want from me? And I went from that to falling in love with these people to the point where I can't live without them anymore. So it wouldn't matter if we have freedom or not. It wouldn't matter what accommodations, you know, what food, what water. It doesn't matter. I've had TB. I've been through medicine for 2 years for my TB that I caught from the children in a remote village where everybody had malaria. Everybody had tuberculosis. I would do it 100 times. But now it's better than it's ever been. And we're very thankful for that. But it's because of partners like this church, this preacher, you families who give by faith, sacrificially sometimes. You just keep giving, a little bit at a time. But you're making an impact, and you sometimes you don't understand what that impact is, but there are souls that you're going to meet in heaven someday that you finance the gospel going to them. And that means everything. My people suffer every single day of their life. You're going to see a video in the next service. And I'm going to say this. My people suffer every single day of their life and then die and drop into a devil's hell without ever hearing one single time, not hearing even once that there's a Savior that died to pay for their sin. We've been smuggling Bibles. And at first we sent 1 million John and Romans in Burmese. And then we smuggled, about 25,000 of these Judson Bibles. And I gave one to a monk one day, and he got saved and left the monastery. He was a high priest in charge of one of the biggest monasteries. I wrote this track. A monk tells how he found true enlightenment. This is the Burmese edition. We've had several thousand people saved off of this track. And has more, all of the red in this track is scripture. It has more scripture in this thing than just about any other track I've ever seen. And starts with his testimony. And it's a gospel track just for Buddhists. It's now in the Thai language. We're trying to get it translated into Chinese. And working with Peter Hamilton, missionary from Albany, or actually Troy, and is over there in China. And he really wants to join GLBM. And we're talking with him about that. There's actually four families over there in China that want to become part of GLBM because they like the vision. And Myanmar, or Burma, is physically bordered by 5 countries and surrounded by 12. I believe it's the hub of the wheel in Southeast Asia. We want to train an army of preachers to go not only across that country, but out the spokes of the wheel of the surrounding people groups. And that snowball is already running downhill, picking up momentum. And you folks, you are partners with us and have a big piece of the action. You have a big piece of what's going on there, and we thank you very much.
We're just about out of time, so I think what we can do is I'll let you make any final remarks, and then we've got time between the services. If anybody's got a question, if you wouldn't mind being open after we dismiss this class.
All right. The only final remark I think I've already made them, but I don't know what else to say. You folks, you young people, God has a plan for your life. When I was your age, I had no idea. And in the first 2 years of high school, I was flunking out because I didn't care. Then all of a sudden I realized in 11th grade, hey, God wants me to go to Bible college. And I all of a sudden got straight A's. And, I mean, I went from F's, D's and F's, to straight A's overnight. Because all of a sudden I cared. And then I went to Bible college. I met my wife. And we began to serve the Lord. I was assistant pastor. Then I was a pastor for 10 years. Then I went into evangelism, had the youth ministry, and now in Burma. And God has blessed and blessed and blessed. And my wife and I, we're not special. We're not good. We're just surrendered. And you should surrender your life. Give your life to the Lord. Be the most amazing life that you could ever dream of.